Anyone know what significance of May the 4th? There you go. For people my age, we'll look at each other and say, May the 4th be with you. And just think about that if you don't get it. If Arnold Menard was here, he'd really like that, right? I'm sure he said it at his church this morning. So I want to talk to you guys about patience. And patience is an interesting subject. It's one of those things that we probably don't talk about in church life as much as faith, things like that. It's been kind of over my Christian life, I've often heard this joke, you know, patience is the one thing you don't want to pray for, right? Because if you pray for it, you'll get it. And so, I've heard that spoken. But the truth is, patience is something we need in our life, and it's actually one of those things that it's going to come in your life whether you'd like it to or not. But if we learn the value of patience, and I was able to get some revelation on it this week as I was just listening to some teaching. As we learn the value and begin to appreciate it and get revelation on it, it's not something that we'll accept is going to come into our lives inevitably, but it's something we'll actually earnestly desire for and look to develop in our lives, because faith and patience really do go hand in hand. They're really a powerful team. And as I just got blessed this week as I was learning about this, and I figured, well, I'll share it with you guys as well, too, and it'll be good. You know, one of the reasons that this pulpit is high, by the way, just between me and my dad, I think we're going to cut off the bottom 4 inches of it. I'll get used to it. Yeah, exactly. One of the reasons I think in life sometimes we don't like to talk about patience is we can have a distorted view of it. And you know, we're thinking about it a certain way. Sometimes we think that patience is really something that's just designed to help us endure hardships gracefully. And I don't believe that's the case. But if that's our view of patience, if it's just something that gets us to squeak by when things are hard, well, then I can understand why it might be something that we don't want to think about, because there's probably not too many people in this room that are just super eager for hardships and just can't wait for trials and temptations to enter your life, right? We're looking to have smooth sailing, and we truly want to be a people that walks in victory. But as I said, patience is really, I believe it's just as important as faith. The two really go hand in hand. And learning to put patience at work in our lives is really going to put us on the path to success. Many places in the Bible, when they talk about faith and patience are, you know, if they're not in the same verse or the same phrase, they're right after each other, and there's a back and forth relationship. Kenneth Copeland actually wrote a book quite a few years back, and it was called Faith and Patience, the Power Twins. And I was able to just to even pull some things out of there this week, and it's just really neat how faith and patience working together produce results every time. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's read Hebrews 6. Verses 11 and 12. I'm going to be jumping back and forth between the New King James and the New Living Translation, so I'm going to keep Mandy on her toes, but I think she's got it all queued up and on top of it. But if you notice there's different translations, that's what's happening there. So Hebrews 6, verses 11 to 12. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, patience is a working power. When our faith has a tendency to waver, it's patience that's going to come to the rescue and make our faith stand. Amen? Here's another verse that talks about faith and patience. This is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We're going to talk a little bit more about both those verses, but the process is revealed in those verses, how when we have a trial, and we'll talk about this more, our faith is tested, but patience is built, and if we can just let patience have its perfect work, then we can achieve the victory in that situation. We can receive everything that we're believing God for. You know, patience in of itself can't do it, right? If we're just being patient, patience in itself has no power to call those things into reality that we're believing God for. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? So if we have patience, but we're not employing our faith, that's not going to work for us. That's what the world does, right? A lot of times the world is, well, I just need to be more patient. I just need to wait this out. I just need to ride this out. But if you're not employing faith with your patience, that's not really it's not really a God response, and it's not going to get the results you're looking for. Patience without faith is really just waiting around, hoping things will change, right? It's not applying God's word to see the results that we're looking for. But just like patience needs faith, faith needs patience. You know, if we're standing in faith but lacking the patience, what's going to happen? Our faith is going to break, right? So the two really have to go hand in hand. Have you guys ever heard the term sense knowledge? This is a term I ran across this week. And sense knowledge is really everything that we're picking up, all the information that our brain is gathering about our physical environment, right? So we have touch and sight and smell and all those different things. Without the power of patience at work, there's a definite opportunity when we're in a trial that our sense knowledge, the things that we're seeing and perceiving around us, it can overwhelm our faith. And our faith is based on what the Word of God says, not on our sense knowledge. Amen? But if we're not careful, if we're not employing patience, then that sense knowledge, the things that we're perceiving about our situation, can get us into difficulty. Our circumstances don't always show immediate change. That really is the truth. So sometimes that can happen. The circumstances that we're in don't change immediately. And then we have friends that sometimes try and talk us out of our faith. I've had that happen to me, and I've probably been, it's probably been something I've inadvertently done as well sometimes when I'm not being the good brother in the faith that I should be. Satan will certainly lie to us and try us to, get us to believe that God's word isn't true. What God said in his word must have meant something different. Things like that. God's word won't work for us. Maybe it worked last time, but it's not going to work this time. And if any of those things happen, we let those things happen, then we can move out of faith. All those things that we talk about can conspire together and just cause us to lose our patience. Do you know that when your patience runs out, then your faith runs out as well? You can't, if you're not willing to be patient, if you say, I'm done with this, I'm tired of waiting, you just compromise your faith as well. The two go hand in hand. You can't be in faith and not have patience. That was good for me to hear that this week. It blessed me. And so when your patience runs out, that's the end of your faith. That's why it's so key to keep your patience. You know, if you're believing God for something, let's say you're spending some time in the Word and you really get revelation about, let's say, healing in your body, and you just get excited about God's Word. And so you're standing and you're just really, really believing God. You're declaring God's Word. You're saying, by His stripes, I am healed, or whatever verse you're standing on. You do that for 3 weeks and then you give up. You're going to get the same result as if you had never done it in the first place, because you let your patience run out. And so it's so key to keep on believing, not just believing, but believing until you see the promise, right? Until you see that thing active in your life. Patience undergirds our faith, and what it does, it gives it the endurance to persevere until that answer comes. And that's a really powerful thing. Patience, when it's employed properly in our lives, gives us the courage to refuse the lie of Satan that says that the Word's not working for us, because it knows that God's Word has never failed. And patience will cause us not to draw back in fear or doubt, but press forward until we have the answer. You know, I was thinking of an example. Let's say you're looking for a job, and you could go to God's Word, and you can read in God's Word how it's God's desire to provide for all our needs, that He is Jehovah Jireh, the Bible says, which means our provider. And He takes pleasure when we're walking in abundance and when our needs are met, right? He wants us to have an overflow in our lives. So you get excited about that, and faith really gets a hold of you. You know, that's one way you know you're walking in faith, by the way, is when you're excited. You guys know that? If you're kind of feeling bummed out a little bit, you're probably not in faith, right? But if you're into God's Word, and there's just an excitement on the inside of you that you can't contain, and, looking at your situation and the physical details of it, a person can be discouraged. But if you're excited about that based on what you see in God's Word, you don't have to question whether you're in faith at that moment. You're in faith for sure. And that's just a neat indicator right there. But going back to the job, so you start to declare things like, God, you're my source. Thank you for Jesus for providing the job that I need. But let's say the next day you go and have 3 interviews and you get turned down all 3 times. You apply at Tim Hortons and KFC and Extra Foods and they turn you down. That would be a really bad thing, by the way, if you couldn't get a job at either of those 3 places with that. But let's say you get turned down at all 3 of those and you get discouraged. And that's when patience has to take over, right? That's when you have to make a conscious decision to stay constant in your faith, to act as if nothing's happened. You can't look at that and say, well, that was the only 3 jobs that possibly I could have had in Swan River, and I guess God's Word doesn't work. I guess He doesn't want me to walk in abundance. We can't do that. We have to make the conscious choice to base our confidence on the Word of God, because nothing has changed in God's Word, right? Despite what's happening in our situation, there is a constant, and that's God's Word. Amen? Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He's not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? So if you put your patience to work after those three unsuccessful job interviews at those fine establishments, what are you going to say? You're going to say, praise God, I've got the job I need, and keep on declaring it, keeping on standing on God's word. You know, when you do that, faith will open the door to God's promise in your life, and it'll keep that door open until the promise is fulfilled. Let's look a little closer at the word patience. The word, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, right? We read the New Testament in English. Thank God for that. Most of us aren't Greek scholars. But it was originally written in Greek. And the literal translation for the word patience in the New Testament is to be consistently constant, or to be the same way all the time, regardless of what happens. Consistently constant, or the same way all the time, regardless of what happens. Who does that sound like? Sounds like the Lord, doesn't it? Patience is actually a key attribute of God himself. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So patience is actually a core part of Christ's makeup, core part of the Godhead, and all another reason that we want to bring it active in our lives. You know, nothing and no one can cause God to change. He's true to his word, right? And his word always stays true. So regardless of what's happening in our situation, whether we get the jobs or not, we don't have to look at those things, because we can look at God and his word, and they are true and they are the same. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, verses 35 to 36. This verse talks about, and it illustrates, how the decision to stay in faith and patience, it's a conscious decision, right? It's something that we do have control over in our lives. Hebrews 10, 35 to 36, this is from the New King James. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Don't cast away your confidence, because there is a great reward. And then it talks about the word endurance. The Bible says, Paul's saying, we believe Paul probably wrote the book of Hebrews, you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The original King James uses the word patience there instead of endurance, but a lot of the modern translations will substitute endurance and patience. So actually, when you're reading the New Testament, if it says endurance, try throwing patience in there and see what that does. It might just bring a little bit of a different meaning, right? Or if it says patience, you can also, you know, supplement with the word endurance as well, but they're very close to the same thing. There's actually a quote from Andy Womack that I like. It says, patience is simply faith applied over a prolonged period of time. Instead of a momentary faith, patience is prolonged, and a prolonged, enduring faith. It's when you just believe and you keep on believing. Amen? So both faith and patience need to be developed in our lives. Neither of them happen automatically or accidentally. Patience perhaps a little bit more so, but it's something we need to work at. We need to recognize that, hey, there's a key here to my Christian walk where I need to have faith and patience working together. So what can I do to develop those in our lives? Sometimes we can have the belief that trials and tribulations develop our faith, but we don't want to think that way. The Bible is clear that they don't develop our faith, they test our faith, right? 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So with our faith, the Bible says we start off with a measure of faith, but then our faith has developed and grown how? How do we grow our faith? That's right. Faith, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And it's not just hearing the word of God, but then it's making it active, right? Applying it in our lives, confessing it. That's how we grow our faith. And so it's important to be doing that, developing our faith all the time. You know, what trials and tribulations do develop is our patience. That's the key. They're not there to develop our faith. Hopefully we have faith beforehand, but they're there to develop our patience. Let's read Romans 5:3. We can rejoice too. We would run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. There's that word again. Endurance, patience. So trials and problems help us develop endurance and patience. You know, when we're in the middle of a storm in life, that's not the time to be trying to develop our faith, right? I mean, it's honestly better to start that than never, I guess. But really, we want to be doing it right now, right? If there's a little, you know, if there's a smooth sailing, you know, if you're not climbing the mountain, this is the time where you want to be just feeding yourselves on God's word, right? Getting the promises of God's word. Just really deepen your spirit. Have your faith developed and strong so that when you get to that rough spot, your faith is already there. Your faith deposit is already there to make a draw on. And you've taken the time to develop the word of God in your life. And you have your word strong before the trials and the testing comes. I thought of the little parable that Jesus told in the Bible about the man who built his house on the solid rocks. So let's read about that just briefly here. This is Luke 6, 47 to 48. Of course, before this, Jesus told how there was a man who built his house on sand and then the storms came. And what happened? It was all over, right? Like some of those houses in the States when the tornado comes just flattened it, right? But now he's telling us about the man who built his house on a firm foundation. So verse 47, this is Jesus talking. He says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it's well built. What does it mean when the man says he has to dig deep? That's acting on the word. Acting on the word is digging deep, right? Acting on the word, getting crystal clear in our minds what God's will is about our situation, what God's will is about our lives, that's what's going to build our faith. That's going to give us that firm foundation, right? When the storm comes, and the floodwaters, the breakwaters, or whatever is coming against us in life, it's coming against our house, that house is going to stand because we've built well on a firm foundation. That man's faith was developed before the trial came, and then his patience was developed during the storm. His patience is what brought him through the storm because he had the confidence he had done the right thing beforehand. Amen? I'm going to grab a quick drink here. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 7. It's just amazing when you get in Scripture. And I was just enjoying reading through some Scriptures yesterday that when God reveals something to you, it just starts popping out all over the place. You guys ever had that? When you get a truth from God's Word, and I mean, the Bible, my Bible was the same this week as it was last week. It didn't change. But as God gives you revelation, and you just start reading through the Scripture, like, there it is again. There it is again. And it's just a neat thing when the Lord does that. And so I enjoy that. So here's another scripture that really talks about the same kind of thing, but it's just neat when God reaffirms his word again and again through scripture, then it's really something that gives us the confidence that this is the truth, this is the way to go. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance or your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance or your patience is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Excuse me. We read that verse before. Verse 5. If you have wisdom, ask our generous God and he'll give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed from the wind by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know, not wavering is really the same thing as being the same all the time, right? That definition of that word patience that we talked about. Paul's talking about the patience and endurance that we need to have in our lives if we're going to make it through the storms. You know, when we let our minds dwell on fear and doubt rather than God's promises, that's the divided loyalty that's talked about in that verse. And when we have divided loyalty, we really become unsettled. I was actually talking to someone this week, not part of this church, just someone in the community, and this is someone who loves the Lord, but it was interesting because with a particular situation, they just weren't sure about it. They had some unsettling, right? And that's a little bit of what was happening here. And we've probably seen people like that in those situations, right? They believe God's word, they might get excited about it, they stand in faith, but then trouble comes, And if the answer doesn't come right away in the exact way or that they thought the solution would come, they can get discouraged and lose their patience, right? And all of a sudden, they move from being in faith to being divided in their mind as, did God really say this? And they come unsettled. And then what happens is they're not saying the same things about their situation that they were saying before, right? They're not declaring God's promises about their situation. Now they're focused on the situation and they're talking about the symptoms of what's happening in their life. What's happened is they've lost their patience, and as a result, they've compromised their faith. And unfortunately, God's word says in that situation, they can't expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's not a position we ever want to find ourselves in, amen? We don't want to say, if we ever find ourselves saying, I'm not really sure what that, you know, what God meant, or does that verse really apply to me? You know, if we find ourselves in that place, that's a real clear sign for us. It's time to really knuckle down, seek the Lord, get into God's word, ask for some fresh revelation, and do a 180. You know, when we get into that place, so often what can happen is we have a tendency to question God. We question God, who cannot lie. We know that, right? And we doubt his word, which cannot fail. It just happens. It's so weird. We question God. He can't lie. We doubt his word, and the Bible is clear. His word cannot fail. And sometimes you stop to recognize that maybe us, who, if we're being really honest, often mess up and get things wrong. Maybe it's us that got it wrong. Maybe it's us that perhaps weren't obedient in doing everything that God asked us to do. Maybe we made a mistake, right? But it's just human nature that we don't look inward first. We look outward, and where else we put the blame, right? So we have to be real sensitive to that, and just be aware. And if someone else comes to you in love and points out that maybe that's happening in your life, man, just be humble. Just accept it and say, thank you, you know, brother in the Lord, sister in the Lord, friend, pastor, coworker, whoever, for pointing that out, and then agree to turn that around and stand in faith together. Amen? You know, being sound in patience means we have the ability to answer every doubt and fear with a confession that God's word is true. And we continue to believe God's word over the circumstances that we're experiencing. When we have that kind of atmosphere, when we're sound in patience, and regardless of what's happening with us, we know what God's word said about that situation. In that kind of atmosphere, faith is really free to move, and faith is free to overcome whatever Satan has put in our way. In verse 12 of the same chapter, we're still in James 1. Verse 12 says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You know, Apostle Paul is now speaking from experience here. He's someone who's been through that process. He's been down that road. He's been through that journey. His faith has been tested. His patience has been tried. And both have had a chance to really grow and develop. I just want to read you, this is just a passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians verses 11. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And he's just given a description of some of the things he's had to go through in life. And this is a bad day right here. This is 2 Corinthians 11. I'm not sure I have the verse. It looks like verse 24 perhaps. I've worked harder, been put in prison more, been whipped more times without number, and faced death. Actually, I don't have the verse on there, man. I'll just read it. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced dangers from rivers and robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I've faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. If anyone had reason to be disillusioned or discouraged about the way some of the things had gone in their life, it was the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? I don't think most of us, some of us have maybe lived a little more difficult life than others, but probably none of us can put a list together to quite match that of Apostle Paul. And yet, Paul's response was really a godly response. Let's read Romans 5, 1-4. And again, he's talking from experience here. The verses that Paul, when he writes, that's his context, that's his background, that's what he's gone through, and yet we can see the victory that he's walking in. Chapter 5 in Romans. Therefore, since we've been made right in God Since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us in this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. You know, Paul's saying that, I mean, it's talking about salvation here. It's talking about a few different things. But Paul's talking about the fact that he has peace in his life, whatever came his way. And he kept his peace when things were going well and when they weren't. It was that being constant, standing on the promises of God's word, regardless of what's happening. He didn't let his peace go in tribulation, but rather the tribulation developed patience in him. And that patience was able to bring him to a place of victory, which is a confident hope of salvation. Amen? As I was thinking about this, I thought of another man in the Old Testament as well. I want to talk about this fella. He was one of the original leaders of Egypt, nation of Israel. Let's get this right. Right after they left Egypt, we had Moses, and he had a bunch of leaders, and some of those leaders were sent out as spies, right? So we know the name of the man, Caleb, and so Egypt is not that far. We've talked about this before. Egypt is not that far from Canaan, right? It's a few days' journey. But they had, whatever, 1 million, 2 million people, lots of animals. So it was taking them some time, but they sent 12 spies to go ahead and check out the land of Canaan. They wanted to know, what are we up against, right? We've heard about this place, but we want to know how big are the cities, how thick are the walls, how tall are the people, all those details, right? And so we know the story. We won't go into huge detail about it, but basically the spies went out, and two of the spies, Caleb and Joshua, saw it was hard. It truly was. But their response was a faith response, right? They believed that, yes, we can do it. We can take the land. That was their report, right? They came back and said, yep, there's giants, whatever. We can take the land. With God's help, we can do it. And then we know that the rest of the guys that went with them, the other 10 spies that went with them, that wasn't their response, right? Their response was one of doubt and unbelief. They got discouraged. They let their patience fail. And they let their faith be compromised. And as a result, they led the whole nation of Israel down the same path, right? There was a whole generation of people that failed to receive God's promise, God's inheritance, because they believed the bad report instead of the faith report. But Caleb and Joshua had a promise from God that they would enter the promised land because they had been obedient to God's word and they had kept their faith. So for 40 years, as Israel's marched around the desert, and again, they didn't march around the desert because it took 40 years to travel from Egypt to Canaan. They took 40 years to get there because of their disobedience. God just had them in a circle till that unbelieving generation had to die off, right? And so for 40 years, Caleb has waited for the promised reward, right? He's got a word from the Lord that says he's going to receive an inheritance, but he's got to wander around the desert for 40 years. I was thinking, man, I've been in some shopping malls, and after 2 hours, I'm done, right? I don't know if you've ever been in Cross Iron Mills in Calgary, but one lap around that thing, and I'm ready to get out of there. So 40 years in the desert, that's a long time. It probably wasn't even as interesting as Cross Iron Mills. It wasn't a Bass Pro to stop at. But if Caleb had looked at his circumstances, or if he had listened to the people around him, he would have lost his patience and compromised his faith, wouldn't he? He trusted God and refused to be a quitter. He had a promise from God. Here's the promise from God. This is Numbers 14:24. This is the message that God gave to Moses at that time. This is right after Caleb and Joshua had that good report. They had that faith response. The Lord says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. How many of you guys want to bet that Caleb probably had a printout of that prophecy, and every day he'd pull that out of his wallet and read that thing to himself, right? That was the word of God that he was standing on. Things are going to change, right? Despite, you know, the fact that I saw that hill last year and the year before that and the year before that and the year before that, I'm going somewhere. This is actually going to happen, right? He stayed firm in his belief. So what happened is they did enter the promised land. There was quite a few battles that they had fought. Israel took on places like Jericho, and we know all those stories of some of the big cities that they fought, and they won those battles. And peace and quiet started to come to the land a little bit. And now it's time for Caleb to claim his promise. He's ready. Let's pick up his story. We're in Joshua 14. We're just going to read what happens here. Joshua 14, verses 6 to 12. A delegation from the tribe, there's some big names here, so bear with me, I'll try and get them right. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea." He probably had the prophecy there and he was holding his hand, right? "Remember what the Lord said." It's right here. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan, on which you were just walking, will be your granted land, and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." Verse 10, "Now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as when I was when Moses sent me on that journey." Isn't that neat? I love reading that. He's 85 years old, and he's as strong then as he was 45 years previous. That's how I want to be when I'm 85. Just an aside. "And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then." Amen. "So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak." Those were giants, big dudes, "living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said." You can see his faith, not only has his strength not wavered, but his faith and his patience hasn't wavered. He's absolutely convinced this is going to happen. I'm going to do this. We can take it on, so give me the chance to go get them. You know, 45 years is a long time to wait for promised reward. Some folks, Caleb's age, probably would have given up before, right? They would have made an exit into their rocking chair and sat on the porch and read, I don't know, Reader's Digest Geriatric Edition or whatever. But Caleb was still interested in following the Lord, and he really had a triumphant faith. He stood in God's word, he stood firm on God's promises, and he was really ready to receive his inheritance. This is what Hebrews 10 is talking about. Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36. So, again, we mentioned this verse before, but this is exactly, I mean, this verse was written after Caleb, but he had it down. He had heard from the Lord. "So do not throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need so that you'll continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he's promised." And that's what Caleb is walking in, is that patient endurance. So it came time to receive his promise and to claim it. He was ready. He had endured in faith and patience, and he was really eager to get at it. So here's what happened. This is Joshua 15, verses 13 to 14. "The Lord commanded Joshua to assign some of Judah's territory to Caleb, son of Jephunneh." So Caleb was given the town of Kiriath Arba, let's call it Hebron, that had been named after Anak's ancestor. Caleb drove out three groups of Anakites, the descendants of whatever, three guys, the sons of Anak. He did it. He drove them out. They were giants. It says that there was big walled cities. And Caleb took a group of people that were with him, and they were victorious. They drove out those descendants, and that was their inheritance, Hebron. And there was a large area around that that became the land where he was able to continue on his family. And actually, it's a neat story. If you read that further, you know, Caleb's faithfulness didn't just affect him, but it affected generations after him, right? His children were blessed because of his faith and endurance, and they got to take hold of promises of God because they had seen it modeled for them. And so it's just a powerful story all around. How can we have that same confident trust in the Lord? It happens by believing God's word, just like Caleb did, and then acting on it. That's faith. You know, after you've acted in the word of God, employ the power of patience, and you will receive the promise of that word. Caleb knew God's will, right? He had the prophecy printed out in his wallet. He acted accordingly, and then he showed great patience, and in the end, he received his word. And this is the same process that we need to follow today, regardless of the situation that we're in. Let's read Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. "We desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promises." We started off by reading this verse. That really is the process, though, that we show diligence. That means it's an active thing. It's a choice that we make. We don't become sluggish. We remain diligent. We're standing on God's promises. And then by employing faith and patience in our lives, we inherit God's promises. You know, faith is acting on the word. God's word is his will. Amen? We know that, right? God's word is his will. And so faith is acting on God's will for our lives, which we discover in His Word. And after we've exerted that sort of that force of faith on our lives, then faith and patience can come together into action to produce that victory in our lives. You know, as I was thinking about this, what happens if we let our faith waver and lost our patience? Is it too late for us? That can happen in situations, right? What if sometimes we can think, have I missed my chance for victory? That is just not the case at all. Remember we talked about how God's word never changes, right? The promises that you were standing on last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago, they're still true and they're still true for you, amen? And so it's just so key just to repent, turn that thing around, pick up God's word, find out His will for your situation, and continue to stand on that thing again, because you can still receive the victory in that situation in your life. It doesn't matter how you've had all to date. God's will is still the same, and He's still saying the same thing to you about that situation. So what is the way out? Find out God's will about your situation and act on it to exercise your faith. You need to confess and speak God's word over your situation, right? Speak what God's word is saying about your situation, and your faith is active. You're going to get excited at that point. Now let patience do its work, right? Don't just believe, but believe until you see that promise, until you receive everything you're standing in faith for. Let's stand. James 1:4 says, "But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Right? That's what we want to believe for as a church, that when we have our faith active, we let patience do its perfect work, and together we're perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's what I'm believing for myself, for my family. And I believe that's what you guys are believing for as well, right? Allow patience to work until every symptom of sickness has left your body. Allow it to work until every bill has been paid and you're walking in financial overflow. Allow patience to work until your marriage is restored to full health. Until every fear is left and the peace of God floods your mind, amen? Allow patience to work until every family member is experiencing the joy of a relationship with Jesus. Allow patience to work until everything you're believing for is realized here and now on this earth, because that's what God has for us. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we respond to you today, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the riches of your word, Lord, that causes us to rise in faith, Lord, that causes us to get excited about, Lord, everything that you have for us, Jesus, Lord. And so that is our response today, Lord, is a faith response, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the rich promises from your word, Lord, that bring us life, that bring us revelation, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that the words that we've heard today, Lord, would sink deep, Lord. It wouldn't be something that we just hear this morning and get a little bit of excitement about, but then we get focused on something else and they slip away, Lord. But we ask, Lord, and we desire, Lord, that with the words we've heard today, Lord, go deep down into our spirit, Lord. Cause us to consider them, to meditate on them, Lord. Cause us to get into the Word, Lord, and to read these promises and these principles for ourselves, Lord. That your Word would go deep, Lord, that each of us, Lord, over the coming hours, days, weeks, whatever, Lord, would really, truly say in our hearts, I'm going to build my foundation strong. I'm going to build on a solid rock, which was you. I'm going to find out God's will, what God's word says about my situation, Lord, and that's what I'm going to build my foundation on. And then recognize that with the Holy Spirit's help, He's our helper. When we come into that situation, we will develop patience, Lord, because we have a firm confidence that what you say is true, Lord, that what you've said about our situation is true. We have that full assurance of hope, Heavenly Father. So that is our response, Lord. That's our expectation today, Lord. And today we just honor you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord. We thank you for the salvation that you purchased for us so many years ago, Lord. And we choose today to walk in victory, Lord, by your power, Lord, and through your grace, Lord, in your name. You know, if we have people that will pray for you today, if you're in a place where you're going through something and you need